In the past few years, the Korean pop music scene has gone global. It's almost unavoidable, in fact. The phenomenon known as K-pop is considered a largely Asian source of hit music, but the headliners are often Americans. NPR's Elise Hu explains K-pop's cross-cultural influences.
In a basement studio in Seoul, or more specifically, a neighborhood you probably know of.
It's in Gangnam, for the people in the rest of the world.
Famous for Gangnam having style, a certain style. Asian super producer Jay Chong hovers over a soundboard the length of a room. He's working on songs so new, he won't play them for us yet. But Asian music fans will know some of his earlier hits.
Yeah, that was a little bit of Asiatics. What you just heard right there is a song called Go. That was her debut single a couple years back.
Chong founded that group and produces its music. And that's not his only claim to fame. He's written and produced hit singles for Mandopop supernovas like Coco Lee and Ame, and K-pop stars who are household names in Asia. People like Kim Gun Mo or the group JYJ. Chong's success is all over the Asian charts, but his passport says USA. Born and raised in Los Angeles, he, like so many American-born Koreans, made it big in the Asian pop industry because of his Americanness.
There's something about kids that grew up in the States. You know, they have a certain kind of swag and certain kind of things that you just can't learn, you know?
He knows, not just from a producer point of view, but because he's a pioneer in the now commonly adopted practice of Asian Americans hopping over the Pacific to make it big in the motherland. He moved to Korea in 1992 at age 19 to form one of the first Asian hip-hop boy bands. The guy rapping that verse is Jay Chong, whose name in the band was Jung Jae-yoon.
At the time, there was like practically nothing here, you know, in terms of hip-hop or rap or anything like that. So I remember, like, you know, we used to dress funny too, you know, baggy pants and, you know, really funky hairstyles, and like taxi drivers wouldn't stop for us, and we don't know where our real home is, you know. Like, when I'm in the U.S., obviously I feel like an outsider, and I'm here in Korea and I'm sort of an outsider.
But once his group produced hits, the migration of American talent to Korea caught on. These days, you'll find an American-born artist in most K-pop groups. Chong says appearing Asian and having the swagger of an American is helpful, but the draw is flat-out economics. The Asian music industry is just more open to Asian-looking talent than the industry in the U.S.
Of course, aside from all the discrimination they get in the U.S. entertainment industry, you know, they feel like, okay, you know, I might have a better chance out here where I'm actually accepted a little more.
Now, a Korean entertainment industry that was nascent 20 years ago is more like a machine with training camps, managers, marketers, and more. It's a key cultural export, says Mark Russell.
And it's grown, it's grown, it's grown. It's a huge amount of growth.
He's the Seoul-based author of Pop Goes Korea, which analyzes the rise of K-pop over the last few decades.
Even before Gangnam Style, I was running into K-pop in random parts around the world. When I was living in Spain, I was surprised how often I would hear a K-pop song on the radio or on the music video channels there.
The Asian Americans who felt that outsiderness on both sides of the Pacific now have a home in this fast-flattening global economy. Artists and producers like Jay Chong are using it to their advantage. His group, Asiatics, is big all over the Asian continent, not just in Korea.
My thing is always trying to take K-pop to a global kind of forum, you know.
They don't have to be of one place. Why bother when they can chase world music domination? Elise Hu, NPR News, Seoul.
Your source for K-pop. It's NPR News.